If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome back here to Big Sports Radio. You know, we're talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes. Consistently fantastic, this Hawkeyes program. Of the last 20 years, 18 winning seasons. And a guy who's had a front row for, I think maybe all of those 20 seasons, we'll ask him, Tom Kakert of the Iowa Rivals website. Tom, we have been a big fan of yours for a long time and thrilled to have you here on the show. Welcome to Big Sports Radio.
Well, thanks for having me on. And yeah, it's funny. This is my 20th year doing this full time.
Wow.
As a career, the start of this season, I put a post up the other day about just how thankful I am for having this opportunity to do. You know, it's one of my good friends who's an entrepreneur. And I also, when we were younger, we went to high school together and college together at Iowa. One of the things we always said was if you can make your hobby your life, you'll never work a day in your life.
And
that's really what it is for. And he was able to do that with his career, and I've been able to do that with mine. And he always tells me, even though he makes way more money than I do, he always says, "You've got the job that everybody wants."
Right.
You know, and I said, "Well, sometimes it's not as fun as you think it is."
Yeah.
But it's work. It is, but it's been a labor of love for me. Just being able to have a front row seat to so many great football and basketball games, and you know, I know you guys with the Illini, but it got, just being down at Champaign for the last couple basketball games. Holy cow! Just that's what college basketball is all about, and you want to be there and see those games like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great atmosphere, and I think the Big Ten overall. I love what's happening with the new TV deals that shows the value that it's not just those of us in the Midwest who think there's great value in this. Obviously, so does Madison Avenue, and that's reflected in those dollars. And you're right. I think, and you know, when you look at Iowa athletics and what you guys have done there with all of your programs. I mean, obviously, football and basketball gets the lion's share of the attention, but you know, it's just been, you know, to see, you know, the volleyball working at things and soccer and just all the different other sports, you guys work over there and we enjoyed your great reporting on all those things, over the years. So Iowa football, we've got, South Dakota State here this weekend. Tell us about the Hawkeyes and give us an overview of kind of, the makeup of this team going into the season.
You know, I think they're going to be really good on defense. You start with an All-American, Jack Campbell, coming back. You got All-American and Riley Moss on the edge at corner. You got an experienced secondary overall. Kayvon Merriweather's really good. Terry Roberts is going to start at corner, and he's a senior. You got another senior at linebacker with Seth Benson, a future NFL player, and Justin Jacobs, and a defensive line that gained a lot of experience last year and was pretty solid. So that's going to be kind of the bedrock of this team, as it is normally. You know, and that defense was great last year, created 30 turnovers, 25 interceptions, led the country in that category. So they just know how to create turnovers, get to 30 sacks, and keep you under 20 points. Defensive coordinator Phil Parker always says that if you give up less than two explosive plays in a game, and he terms that like less, 20 yards or less plays, that you're going to probably give up about 14 points if you play just good solid defense.
Okay.
If you give up three or more, you're probably looking at giving up 28 points. So that's the difference between winning and losing in college football, is not giving up big plays, and he's determined that. On the offensive side, a lot of question marks, a lot of injuries. Wide receiver position, they've got two walk-ons listed in the two deeps. So they're just – they weren't deep anyway, and losing Charlie Jones in, late June or whatever it was just a, kind of a gut punch, especially going to Purdue. They're thin there. I think you're going to see Sam LaPorta maybe splitting out a little bit, playing more of a wide receiver than a tight end sometimes, which isn't a bad thing, because he essentially played wide receiver in high school. But Spencer Petras back, his third year as a starter. He's kind of a lightning rod, because he just, he hasn't put up huge numbers. Just hasn't. I mean, last year it was 10 touchdown passes, 9 interceptions. So this big year for him. But I think the run game's going to be really strong with Gavin Williams, LeSean Williams, and a young freshman named Caleb Johnson. And I think the line will be stronger once that gets settled. So. Typical Iowa team, special teams, run game, good defense. That's Iowa football in a nutshell.
Yeah, it really is. And your schedule helped you at least in September. You've got South Dakota State this weekend. Iowa State is at Kinnick, but the Cyclones, it's a great rivalry game, and certainly they've had some success over the recent years under Matt Campbell, and so. Rooting for Iowa there, but that's always a tough contest. You get Nevada at home, and then at Rutgers. Now, the Big Ten schedule makers didn't do the Hawkeyes any favor. No. Michigan and Ohio State, and of course Wisconsin in division. Anytime you're in the West Division, you got to face both of the Big Two. On them. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the love.
Yeah, that is a real challenge for them. But the good news is the Michigan game is in Iowa City. I know Iowa's still hoping for a nighttime kickoff for that game, but I don't know that they're going to get their wish, because the big noon kickoff is going to dictate a lot of things moving forward, especially that's the marquee Big Ten game is going to actually be at 11 a.m. Central Time and not in under lights very often, unless but that's like next year, but for the new TV deal. But it's a tough schedule. Iowa hasn't been in the Horseshoe since 2013. So, it's just, they just never get there. And South Dakota State this weekend is a challenge. That's a really good football team. FCS had the spring season during the COVID year, and South Dakota State made it to the championship game that year. And last year they made it to the Final Four, losing to Montana State in the semifinal game. So they have a lot back, a lot of good players, and that's going to, honestly, it would probably be a tougher game than the Nevada game. I don't think Nevada's going to be any good this year. So, and it might be tougher than some of the Big Ten games, to be honest.
One of those trap games where you see FCS, but
I would learn that lesson. Learn that lesson in 2016 when North Dakota State came to Iowa City and won. And the South Dakota State team, not as veteran at the quarterback position, but still dangerous. It's going to be a dangerous game for Iowa. I suspect you're going to look up at halftime and it's going to be like 10-7, something like that in Iowa City. But I think Iowa will win, but it's not going to be you're not going to look up. If you look up and it's 55-7, then I'm going to go, oh, wow, that was something with this team.
Yeah. You mentioned about in terms of the TV and the schedules and where games are slotted, your thoughts on this media deal. I mean, on one hand, it's, as you said, it's a great thing to have deals with all three networks. Kevin Warren has been vilified in his short tenure as the Big Ten commissioner, and you can argue that, you know, there's some of that is warranted. No pun intended, Warren. But at the same time, I think if you do that, you have to give him credit for this. You know, his years in the NFL, and he said from early on that he wanted to mirror what the NFL did with the partnerships with multiple networks, and he's done that. But how do you think this plays out? Because like you said, Fox is still going to kind of dictate things, but they're sitting in that noon Eastern slot where the prime time game is NBC. How do you think this is all going to look here in two or three years as they get into this?
Yeah, I think obviously the headline thing was that they're getting away from ESPN and ABC for the first time in forever. I mean, really, my lifetime, that's right. What it's been is ABC or ESPN for Big Ten football. So it's going to be interesting how ESPN treats the Big Ten. I know everybody's worried about, like, they're going to ignore them, and then that's just going to impact the Big Ten itself. Big Ten football is not the NHL. You can't just pretend that it doesn't exist, right? You know, on SportsCenter and all their shows. So I think they'll talk about a plan. I love the idea that you've got a full day of Big Ten football, that you're just sort of like you're on the main over-the-air networks that everybody can get, and Fox, CBS in the afternoon window, and then NBC at night. And we've seen what NBC has done with the NFL and promoting that on Sunday nights and making that kind of must-see TV where you're there every Sunday night. That's what you do. You just watch the whatever the NFL game is there. That's the NFL. But still, I think the college games are going to draw pretty well. And I like it. I worry about basketball. Mm-hmm. I do, because I think ESPN does provide some really good opportunities basketball-wise. You know, you and I probably go back to watching when the Big Ten was on Mondays, Big Monday, you know, with the Big East.
Yeah.
And just some of those great games that we saw in the late 80s between, you know, Iowa, Illinois, Purdue, Indiana, all the schools, Michigan State, you know, Michigan back in the day. And just all those fun games. But you know, in recent years, it's been like Tuesdays and Thursdays. And what's going to happen to the Big Ten ACC Challenge? Is that going to the wayside now too? And I worry about games going to, I know a lot of fans that are older worry about them going to streaming. They don't know what's Peacock. Is that a bird? Right. You know, they don't know what Peacock is, but you're going to have to go there to watch probably a couple basketball games every year.
Yeah, that may explain why NBC moved that longtime soap Days of Our Lives to Peacock.
We
helped my father-in-law figure out how to get that on his TV. That's his program. And, you know, getting him, you know, indoctrinated into how to do that. You're exactly right. You know, I agree with all of that. My one pushback would be in terms of the attention, especially for basketball, is that I'm not sure ESPN gives the Big Ten proper billing now. With the deal,
I think you're right.
So the question is, how much do you lose? Because they are so SEC and East Coast centric. You know, I will be honest with you. I get very frustrated with the ESPN announcers who don't know the teams outside of Michigan and Indiana, and maybe Michigan State. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it's very frustrating from a national scene, and so. The one thing I think we do get with football is that you now have three networks. All three, as you know, are going to do extended pregame and postgame because there are dollars to be made there. And all three focus on Big Ten teams because they have a stake in it. And I think that will help you. You lose ESPN. The ESPN's only going to focus on the ranked teams. To your point, you're exactly right. But you do have the other, I think. And yeah, basketball is going to be a little bit crazy. Where do those other during the week games go? Maybe FS1, you know, which is, you know, they do a great job, but it's not as easily findable, I guess, as ESPN has because they're newer to the game, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I always look at it from the perspective of what can I get in a hotel room, you know, what stations can I get in a hotel room, and there's a lot of times I'll, you know, be traveling and I can't get a game. FS1 is not in my hotel room. Big Ten Network might not be in my hotel room, but I can get ESPN and ESPN2 and ESPNU. So you know, I think there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. In fact, my hotel room at the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis in March did not have BTN. You're exactly right. Talking with Tom Cakert here of Iowa Rivals. Tom, I want to get this in before our time runs out. Kirk Ferentz, I saw an article recently where some pundit somewhere was ranking the top coaches in college football and had Ferentz not as the cream of the crop, but kind of the next tier, like the second level of coaches.
Yeah.
I'm of the mind. I think he may be the most underrated coach in college football. All he does is win, but he hasn't won that national title. And therefore he doesn't get that billing among the greats. I think that's unfair. I think he's a better coach than that.
Yeah. And I would agree with you. He's just been, I think if you asked, you know, a lot of fan bases in the Big Ten, would you have liked to have had the last 23, 24 years under Kirk Ferentz as your resume for your football program? I know I've talked to Ketter Prince about this and he's like, I would have taken that in a heartbeat at Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, I think Purdue would take that. I think Indiana would take that. I think, you know, Minnesota would take that. There's a lot of programs that would have taken the steady results and leadership of Kirk Ferentz. And, you know, he's been in some rocky times. There's been some rocky moments. I remember after the 2014 season, they were kind of at a crossroads with things. And I didn't know how it was going to kind of end up. And then that next year, they, you know, he just kind of goes under the hood, gets things fixed. But in a lot of ways doubles down on what he does. And then they go out and they go into undefeated in the regular season and go 12-0 with, you know, a solid team, but I, you know, wasn't like that team only had, that year then just only had one NFL draft pick. It was Austin Blythe. And he was like one of the last picks in the seventh round. So it was like, you know, there were other guys that ended up playing in the NFL on that team, but just off of that class. But it wasn't like this senior dominated team that had great, you know, NFL players. It was, they were collectively just, the ball started rolling in the right direction for him and went. And once he had that season, it was like, okay, Kirk's going to be here for as long as he wants to be. And, you know, when that is, I don't know, but he and Nick Saban just hanging around, yeah. You know, and those guys used to be on staff together at with the Cleveland Browns under Bill Belichick. He's just a steady, good leader for the program.
Yeah, what a great you could say foresight, genius, or just roll the dice to for a program to hire Hayden Fry to resurrect Iowa football, and then to Kirk Ferentz to come in and do what he has done following Kirk Fry.
Think about this, Larry. Since 1979, Iowa's had two football coaches.
Yeah.
1979. I mean, you know, it's just wild.
Yeah.
to think that they've had two football coaches and three athletic directors in that time span.
Yeah. That just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen.
No.
The stability there, and that's why the team is so successful year in, year out. Hey Tom, we are out of time, but I hope you'll come back. Yeah, and keep up the great work. I mean, again, we're really, like I said, been a big fan of your work for a long time, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks for having me on, Larry.
Appreciate it. Tom Cakert of Iowa Rivals, and make sure you check out that website for all your Hawkeyes news. And Iowa again, taking on South Dakota State, one of the better teams in the FCS division. No guarantee, but we look for the Hawkeyes to get that win 11 o'clock in the morning on FS1 on Saturday. Stay with us. More Big Sports Radio. Top of the hour coming up next.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.